Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much, and please continue to help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject. This is one powerful way that we can make a positive influence together. And speaking of making a positive influence, joining me today as my guest co-host once again is Marvin Smith. And besides being a former co-host of this show, Marvin played in the NFL for the Los Angeles Rams and Oakland Raiders. He is an ordained minister and very active in many charities that involve helping people all over the world, making him a great fit to co-host not only this show, but any show. Marvin, glad to have you back.
Well, it's always good to be back, Alan. Thank you for the introduction. And man, you make me sound like somebody.
Because you are.
You know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I know. And that's I think one of the things that's very charming about you is you're very humble about the many things that you've accomplished, and not only for yourself, but I know you've accomplished so many things for so many other people, and I know that's what you're most proud of.
Yes. Well, thank you.
All right.
And we go way back, and you know, I think we have our hearts are knitted in the same direction for the same reasons, and it's about helping people and creating opportunities. So that's why I'm glad to be always when I can be part of the show, which is always exciting.
All right. Well, it's my pleasure. Now, let's talk about our guest. Our guest, Coach Gary Waters, he earned his reputation building college basketball programs. He was the winningest coach in the history of Cleveland State University. And during his time at the school, Coach Waters won 194 games and led the Vikings to 6 postseason appearances. In 2009, Cleveland State made the NCAA tournament and advanced to the second round after shocking Wake Forest. He rebuilt 3 more programs, turning them all into winners. And some would say, why did I just speak about all of these things? Because what I think is the statistic that is the most impressive is the fact that 98% of his players he coached went on to graduate college. And I know that that's where his heart is. He has also received numerous awards, including the 2008 Horizon League Coach of the Year. He was the winner of the John Lutz Barnabas Award by the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And he was named the Master Coach by the Nations of Colleges in 2015 and served on the board of the National Association of Basketball Coaches. Now, Coach Waters is a Detroit native, and he graduated with a Bachelor's of Science degree in Business Administration and in Business Education from Ferris State. He received his Master's degree in Educational Administration from Central Michigan. He currently resides in Tampa, Florida, and I am so glad to have him with us. Coach, welcome to Answers Network.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Alan and Marvin. I'm glad to be here.
Well, one of the things for our listeners is that what drew me to Coach Waters is he has a book that's called The 10 Principles of a Character Coach. And once I had a chance to go through that, I knew that, number one, I wanted to meet this man, but also I knew that this would be somebody that he brings exactly what the spirit of this show is that how can you empower people? How can you raise people up and to be the best that they can be? And that's exactly what Coach Waters is doing. So, Coach, again, thank you so much, not only for coming on, but for putting a book out that I think is going to change a lot of people's lives.
Well, thank you, Alan. One of the principles actually states empower and serve the people in front of you. And so that means a lot to me as well.
Well, one of the things that I got from it was that these principles really come together to make an incredible leader. And so I felt, well, first of all, you have been a leader, so you understand these principles, but share a little bit about how these principles have made leaders out of young men that you've worked with.
Oh, yeah. You know, I tell you this, it's interesting because, you know, when I wrote the book, the whole purpose was to connect with players, coaches, and parents to give them an understanding of when they look for a coach to serve their son or daughter, that they find the right type of character within that person. And that mm-hmm. was my whole purpose.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I was looking at the landscape at the time when I wrote the book. And if you remember, college basketball in the NCAA Division I was having some problems. So mm-hmm. I said, you know, this would be a great time to write this book so they can understand this. And now what has happened is I've taken it to another level, Alan. You know, I just finished my second book. It's called Coaching Millennials from a Character Perspective. So I'm into that part of a generation. And I'm also doing some things right now, which I really like. You know, I'm taking that character message and taking it to the police department, and I'm teaching workshops for them.
Yeah, and I noticed that. So talk a little bit about how this is working with police departments across the nation.
Well, what has happened is I was looking at what was going on in our society, and I said, you know, how can I help? How can I be a part of this whole process? So I thought about some things. And then when I was thinking about it, I said, well, I first got to identify where their issues are. You know, we talk about all the different issues, but what is it truly about? So when I evaluated everything and assessed everything, I came to the conclusion that the police department was having three major issues. Mm-hmm. And these three major issues was dealing with people within it, and they hadn't tested for it, meaning to find out where these issues could come up. And the three issues were, they were either raised to do what they do, meaning, you know, discriminate, whatever happens, or they were bullies in their life at one time or were bullied. Okay. And then the third one was that that they just struggled with other people. And so I had to evaluate all that and see how can I bring a message to them, information, so they can understand what direction they should be going and following. And so when I had to get certified in different states and everything, and when all that occurred, it all came together.
Yeah, and if I can add a little bit to that, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because as you know, as I was learning about what you had done working with law enforcement, like any group of people, okay, like any profession, we're not looking at all of them, but
correct.
It's the same thing with a basketball team or anything else, is that if you have someone of poor character, that can potentially create problems throughout your whole team, which also is the same thing with a business team, with a police department, a fire department, or anything else. So, but I just wanted to make sure that that's how I took it. And is that correct? That's how
That's very correct, Alan. And when I talked to them, you know, I actually mentioned to them, this is not everyone in this room that these things are applying to. However, you can hear what's going on. The prime example, let's talk about the Floyd case, just very briefly. You know, the person that was involved that did everything, yes, you could see, obviously, there was a character flaw there at some degree. However, there were two to three other people that were on the police force there at the moment. If they had character, they could have stepped up in front of this and say, stop, don't do this. If they understood it. Now, we know what happens in certain systems, you know, good old boy network, all kinds of things happen, hierarchy, you know, you're hesitant to say certain things. However, that's where character comes in. Character oversees all these things, and you step forward and you let the message out how you feel about this situation. So if they would have stepped in, it probably wouldn't have escalated as bad as it got to. And that's, you know, that's what I'm trying to bring a message to. And I just want to give them information to understand that you are in control. You can make certain decisions. And if you make the right decisions, then good things happen.
And I think that goes to your point in regards to leadership is that if you're trained as a leader, you're very comfortable with stepping up and talking about what's the right thing to do in any situation.
Correct.
And that, again, is one of the things that I got from the book. But one of the questions, and it's interesting because I had this question and then also somebody mentioned it to me when I was at the gym and they came up to me and said, "Hey, so who's going to be on your show this week?" You know, and so I started talking about you and I started talking about your book and it came up and it said, how has it changed from the standpoint of having any sort of challenging issues that you have to deal with young athletes based on the now money and fame and everything that can come from all of this, you know, with the social media and everything. Their question was, how have things changed? If you've done this a long time and you've seen society shift huge now for the people that make it, what have you seen in the change and how has that affected the way that you either coached or dealt with these young men?
Well, you know, I wasn't in it when the change happened. Okay. But it was shortly after I had retired. I've been retired now for 3 years and I wasn't in it, but I was talking to many coaches that were truly struggling within it. Mm-hmm. And what they're finding is that, you know, you have to get ahead of the game. You have to understand where the players on your program are at, because you're going to have to work with them regardless if, and it's called NLI, where it's likeness, image and likeness. And if someone on your team has the ability to receive outside income, mm-hmm. you know, you have to be able to deal with that within your organization, because now you could be coaching a kid that's making more money than you as a coach. And so and people look at that a different way. And then you got to make sure that person is still following all the protocols and everything you want put in place. And if they're not, then you're going to have issues.
And then adding to that, you as a coach, then also now you have a kid, a player, starting to dictate the environment.
Yep.
And then you start talking about the administration, and so all of a sudden now you have a coach kind of walking on eggshells just to maintain a program and not have that control.
And this is new for many coaches today because they haven't had to deal with it. They were in control. Now part of that control has gone to the other side.
Yes. Now, I being around sports pretty much all my life, and being of color, I understand as far as yourself, Coach Waters, that, you know, a lot of these kids are, you know, they're coming from these adverse conditions.
Correct.
And this is, you know, other than being a rapper, you know, or a shot caller, sports is the way out.
Right.
And
right.
So you can't blame them. But then again, when they get baited into a situation, and this is where character is so important. And that's why a coach has to know his players, because it's like a parent. You know, I have my kids, they're all different, and I can't treat one like I treat the other. Now, this whole thing with the ruling on NCAA and this whole likeness and image, college has been making a lot of money. Okay. And to be able to, and when you have students sometimes, because all they have is scholarship money and they'll get those checks monthly, they're struggling, then it causes them to get out of character, because they're going back to that baseline again about, I got to come up, you know, that term they use. So it's just so, and so what one thing I didn't like is like, okay, likeness image is great, but I personally feel that if they're going to do that, one player shouldn't be the creme at the top of the crop. I think it should be every player gets equal amount across the board.
Well, let me mention something to you, Marvin, just to give you a little insight. And that changed right when I was leaving. Maybe I was a part of it for 2 years. And this is what I don't think the audience know, or people across that aren't connected with the NCAA. Myself, I was connected. I was on the board of the NABC, so I could see a lot of these things come by. And what they did was they passed, I don't want to call it a rule, but something that they passed to allow universities to give cost of living. Now, you remember probably when you played, they may have had that. I don't know if I'm a little off base, where you could get laundry and little extra, those kind of things. You remember that?
Yeah.
Then that's cost of living pay. And now what is it? See, a scholarship only equates to 80% of a person going to that institution. Yeah. So there's a 20% out there. And what the NCAA and all the powers to be realized that there were issues going on and financially with many of the kids, and they couldn't go to funerals, they couldn't do this, they couldn't do that. They said, well, then why don't we bring forth this cost of living amount? And the cost is predicated at your institution where you're located. Now, people that are like, let's take like St. John's University in Manhattan. Or they're not in Manhattan, but near Manhattan, right. The cost of living is a lot higher there. So that person could get more money. But like when I was at Cleveland State, when I was leaving, a student got $4,000. That's free of charge. They just give it to you like a grant, and it's yours. Now add that with the Pell Grant. You've probably heard of that before. Yes. You add that with the Pell Grant, which is about $6,000. So a person could have a check of $10,000 each year. So and I looked at that and I said, man, I wish I could have had that when I went to college. It would have been a lot easier on me. So they're trying to do certain things and give back. For instance, there was a young man that played for Connecticut, and his name was, I think, Dampier. He was a guard, really good guard when they won the national title. He made a comment saying that, hey, you know, we do all this for the university, and we can't even eat at night because everything's closed. There's no food, and we don't have any money to buy anything. So they also passed another guideline that says that you can provide meals for them from 8 o'clock until 12 midnight. So there's some things happening. It's just not out there.
Right. Well, we have questions that have come in from some of our listeners, and we have one that has come in. And again, I want to thank those that take the time to do it. This one reads, I really enjoyed playing basketball. And in high school, I was considered an outstanding player. When my son started playing the sport in fifth grade, I was shocked at how much it had changed. It was now, it appeared that it was only about winning and cultivating the most talent. I know that I was, that I would never have excelled in the sport had I been benched like my son's experience. I think it is a great disservice to the younger kids who are just beginning to grow into their physical abilities. I would like to hear your opinion on this, and I do look forward to reading your book. And this is from Brian in Oklahoma.
Oh, Brian, that's pretty good. Well, you know, we're having that problem all across the country because, you know, it's a competitive sport. However, you know, there are times when the student athlete can be involved in certain things to show their abilities. You know, like we talk about AAU. AAU has taken over our college basketball. So, you know, all kids that are participating in sport in high school will play on an AAU team, oftentimes resulting to the point where they'll put more emphasis on the AAU as opposed to the high school. And I think that's a major issue. Yeah. But one of the things they can do is get on an area team so they can enjoy their experience with the other players within the area, and you can see their abilities, okay? But let me give you this, Alan. It was something that I was involved in 2 years ago. And I hate to hear it's not going to be ran this year, but it could be ran in 2022. I was a commissioner of the College Basketball Academy. And what it was the NCAA had allowed players to participate in this academy and develop their skills and train their skills, but at the same time get life skills in that environment. With that alone, which I thought was very, very unique, they allowed the player to come free of charge with a parent or a guardian. Now, mm-hmm. Think about that. That was unbelievable. And they were in four different regions. I was in the Midwest because that's where I was at. And they held it on a college campus. And the experience was to these kids to be a college experience before they get there. And so I ran the academy and the whole works at my site. And it was very, very unique. I mean, you know, during that period of time, we probably had about close to 300 to 400 kids that came through there. Okay. And it was two sessions in a week. So you had 150 in one, maybe 150 in the other or more. And what happens is you train, develop them, and do all that. Now, the thing, the uniqueness about it was the only one that could see this academy were Division I college basketball coaches. It was held during July, the same time all the camps and everything are going on for a week. So during that week, not one college basketball coach could go any other place but to these academies. And they're in the Midwest, the East, the South, and the West. So when you had all that going on, you know, they got great exposure. You want me to tell you why I know they got great exposure? At our camp alone, I think we gave out 100 scholarships. The coaches came in, seen it, and said, "Man, you know, they may have been on the kid for a while, but they when they seen all the things that were going on, they got a chance to identify what they're really all about. Just not only as a player on the court, they realized what they had, and so they made decisions."
Hmm. I like that.
Yeah, I thought it was one. Now they, you know, because of the pandemic, it was halted for 2 years. Okay, and I thought it was going to come back this year, and they told me no, it's not going to come back this year. But we're hoping it comes back in 2022.
That's good. So, Marvin, are there things like that on the football side as well?
It's always changing. I mean, you know, they have camps and you have a lot of players that are doing camps and, you know, but like now a lot of them are in these 7-on-7 leagues, yeah, same thing like AAU.
That's
big.
That's
it's
really
taking
big.
Over. It's now it's like, you know, kids are getting scholarships to universities, you know, seventh grade, sixth grade, eighth grade. They're getting these commitments. I'm going, wait, the kid's still developing just from 7-on-7. And so I go, it's a lot different. I said, God, maybe I was born a little bit too early. I mean,
yeah, wrong time there.
You know, but it's the evolution of change. And, you know, I even look at the NFL today. It's like, to me, I've watched the rules and the changes and all the infractions. All the rule changes are in favor of the offense. Mm-hmm. It's to make the game exciting. So really what has happened when I played in the league, if you were a rookie and started, that was phenomenal. I mean, you were just, you know, you were a super. That's a norm now. But a lot of guys they're not that far removed from their college days, and a lot of these guys have played with each other. So I say the NFL is seven on seven with linemen. It's a passing game.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't tackle. You can't you hit somebody too hard. I mean, you touch them, it's like you get a penalty. So it's entertainment. It's changed over time. So you know, to me, I guess the bottom line is I like what Coach Waters. At the end of the day, a kid gets a scholarship. It's about getting education. He's a student athlete.
Yep.
Student first.
Yep.
And one thing every Action League athlete should walk away with is not the opportunity to play in the league, because odds are probably the probability of getting there as far it's tough. Mm-hmm. The reality. You know, and every kid say, I'm the one.
Yep.
I said I was the one, right? And you know, but it's tough. So when I started to look at numbers, even when I played, we had 13 seniors. My senior year, we had 13 seniors on our team, and only two of us graduated. You know,
something wrong with that.
Something wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. And and that's one of the things again that was I was so impressed. You know, when I was looking into Coach Waters and what you've achieved is the graduation part. And I think if they would take into consideration, obviously, just injuries alone. You know, that you can walk onto that campus and be the greatest athlete, and one injury is going to change your life. But if you come out of there with that degree, you're now going to be able to make a good living. And I love the fact that you have kept your focus in that area. Now, what I want to do is I want to take a break here in a moment, but when we come back, I'd like you to talk a little bit more about the 10 principles. But I'd like you to start from the position of these are how these 10 principles changed your life to help you to become the person that you are. And then let's talk about passing those on to the young people. So for everybody out there, stay with us. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Answers Network.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at West Shield.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers Network. And with me as my guest co-host today is Marvin Smith. And our guest is Coach Gary Waters. And we're talking about his book, The 10 Principles of a Character Coach. So, Coach, let's talk about some of these principles and how they affected you.
Well, let me first start here, because I want to read something from the book, if you don't mind.
Please do.
Because what it does is it gives you an idea why I created this book. It says, and this is from Naismith, the inventor of basketball, okay? And this was, you know, way back at the early 1900s. So it was, you know, it was, no one knew what to expect from this sport. But Naismith said he believed that if you elect to be a coach, it was also your responsibility to be an advisor, a counselor, and a father figure, and to act at all times as an example to the athletes in your care. He further went on to say he envisioned that sport should develop character, foster patriotism, and instill ethical values that would serve participants well in later life. When I seen this, when I was reading his book and I seen it, I said, is this what we're involved in today? Are we doing this? Are we showing those things he's talking about? And that's what got me to write this book, because I realized there were things missing. And so, and just to give you an idea, you know, I had 10 principles. You know, you could have 5 principles, but it ain't enough, you know, when you're writing a book, because you got so many chapters. So I came up with 10 principles, and I said, these principles should be the foundation of what character should be about. However, let me say this, there are certain values in character, and there are a number of them, I mean, hundreds of them, different values, but there are 5 that really make up what character is all about. Let me give them to you. Sure. One is integrity. We all know that, and we understand that we look for that. Second is honesty. That's the second one. And the third one is trust. The fourth one is respect. And the fifth one is loyalty. These are all core values of character. Yep. So these principles are built around these core values, in essence, what I'm trying to say here. And the first one, principle one, it says God over everything. Now, why did I put that first? First, God is first in my life. So, and I don't hesitate to tell the world that. However, we have many people that think they are gods, and they think, you know, they're up there. So they had to understand that, you know, you can't be so big above what you're doing that you can't teach and train and have people learn. And that's what I wanted that in there. Secondly.
Hey, Coach Waters, can I make one point?
Yes.
Dive in. It's really interesting that you say that, because in my years of development in sports from youth all the way through, I had coaches who really thought they were God. Yeah. And it came down to, the only God around here is me, and it's my way or the highway. And that's just like, that was it, you know. And coaches have a lot of influence lives.
And they don't realize that impact that they have over the child or the player is going to be with them for the rest of their lives. And if you do it right, it can be very positive for them. Yeah. And when I put that in there, I really wanted them to understand that, you know, it's not all about you. It's about the kid, and to help him be the best he can become. And you know, like I give you real one quick example. When I would go into homes, we would talk with the parents and we'd have communication. But one of the things that during that communication period, I would tell them I could never be their child's role model. And they looked at me like I was crazy. I said, no, I can never be your child's role model. I said, their role model should be you as parents, because you're the ones that are going to live their life for them and lay down your life for them. And they need to see what is right. And then what I think is happening in our society, and that's when I told you about that, my next book is talking about millennials. What's happening there is that parent, and what I've learned in all my research going through all the generations, that the parent has been, I don't want to call the issue, but that person has struggled with their child, and our child has struggled in the process. So when I went into the home, I told them, I said, I couldn't be their role model. And I wanted them to understand that you are their role model. They must look up to you as the role model. But then I would go on to say, but what I can be for your child is an example of how I live my life each and every day. And what I put into our program so they can understand to be the best they can become. And so, you know, I just think we have to understand what is first before we move on to number second.
Yeah. And then adding to that, this is really good. When I started thinking about statistics and numbers, when I started to look at, you know, ethnicity and those who play the game, and I saw the underserved community, when I started to look at the African-American community, when 74% of the household was run by a single parent mother, a lot of these boys don't have daddies.
That's right.
And that's a problem.
That's amazing.
And so they're looking for that leadership. They're looking for that father figure. And unfortunately, and because I've had a chance to work within the community, they end up finding it places they shouldn't find it. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I meant, Marvin, about the role model. Because, see, you know, let's take in my sport. Michael Jordan was many kids' role model. But Michael Jordan wouldn't give a penny to them if they were laying on the floor dying. And I'm being real to you.
But, yeah, that's true. Yes.
But they made this their big role model. And then they look at their lives and you see things happen in their lives that are negative. They say, well, you know, it turns them in a different direction.
Yeah.
So that's why I say you have to understand where the role model starts. The one, the person that's truly playing that role is the parent every single day.
Yeah.
And if the parent can get with their kid and move them in the right direction, now when they hand them over to us, what we can end up doing is being that example for them of how to live their life, and they can extend that on.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. And to sort of cement in what both of you have just said, many years ago, I spoke before a group of psychiatrists and psychologists, an association, and it was in Washington, D.C., and I started out the speech because it was based on you know why young people were getting in trouble and things like this, and I said, you know, I believe one of the biggest issues that we need to be addressing more than you know how we're dealing with a particular child is we need to be addressing the lack of a father figure, and I said, and it might be physically, or it might be just mentally not there, because you can have a father figure that's living in the home, but if they're working 16 hours and the only time they're home is after the child's gone to sleep, they're still not getting that input that they need from a strong father figure. So, yeah, I could not agree with you more that we need to focus on the family unit. And as you say, Coach Waters, you know, going in there and saying, I'm going to make them dependent on me like a father figure, that isn't the long-term answer. The long-term answer is you're going to help them, but you're still going to be giving them back to that family where they should have the bond that's within that family.
And I say, helping them too, Alan, is creating a sense of self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
That
yes.
They start to learn how to, you know, just part of maturity and growing and being responsible.
Yep. And that's all very important.
Yes. Back to Coach Waters.
Well, let's go on to principle two.
Yes.
Improve yourself and improve others is the next principle. Each and every day, you should be at a point that you're trying to improve yourself, either reading, doing all kinds of things to make yourself the best you can be. But then at the same time, you got to improve others. And what we tried to do in our program to make sure is that we put the leaders in our program help advance the other players in the program so they can be better. You know, we had a player that went pro named Norris Cole. I don't know if you remember with the Miami Heat when they won the two back-to-back championships.
Right.
Norris, when he came in as a freshman, he was pretty talented, but there were some very good players in the program already. And we had a guy, the kid, the funny thing is, he ended up going, he got drafted in the NFL. That's how big and strong he was. He immediately took Norris under his wing and said, Coach, I'm going to take him under my wing, and I'm going to teach him how to work hard and the ethics that we had within our program. Now, you know, all you can do is just let it happen, and good things happen from that. And so every day you want to improve, and you want to improve the people around you, and that's what you got to look for. The third principle was live with integrity and honesty, you know. And all I'm saying there is do the right things, say the right things, regardless of who's watching or if they're not watching. Be the right type of person. And so that's being explained there. And then principle four says treat others the way you want to be treated. And that's dealing with respect. Show respect to other people and yourself, because if you don't respect yourself, how are you going to respect others? And treat them in the right manner. Then the fifth one is love unconditionally. I kind of like that that principle, because I put it in there because many, and you talked about this, Marvin, is that single parent homes, family issues, they don't see love within the family. So it was my responsibility to show them love, how I love my wife, how I love my family, all these kind of things, and how we bond together, and we stay together a lot so they could see that. So eventually, if they have a family, they can say, well, this is one of the ways to do this. And that's the examples I'm talking about coaches should have for their players. And the sixth principle was work hard at what matters. And what I'm saying is have a work ethic. You know, in our society today, you know, sometimes we believe we don't have to work as hard to achieve as much. And that's still the number one objective. You've got to work hard to achieve. And we send these mixed messages to our children, especially Generation Z, this new group that's coming in. You know, I'm talking about in my next book, Millennials, but the next group, they got to understand that, hey, you got to work hard if you're going to have success in life. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to say society is oversaturated, but everything is being now, and everyone's working ahead of you.
And we work hard to create opportunities for our kids, grandkids. And what has happened is this whole sense of entitlement.
That's a whole other subject within itself.
That's a whole other show.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on. The next one is value loyalty. That's number eight, number seven, principle seven, value loyalty. You know, I think we've gone away from that. You know, we don't value that as much as we used to, and I think the young kid is suffering from that. And then the next one is principle eight is empower and serve the people that's in front of you, the people that you're working with, but also, you know, the players that are in front of you, power and serve them to be the very best they can be. And the ninth one is honor the profession. I really wanted that in there because at the time, so many things were going on with our profession. And what does that mean? Don't cheat the player or the people involved in it. Honor it and give everything you have to make it the best it can be. And then the 10th and final one is leave a character legacy. Leave something behind so somebody else can use this and take it forward.
I love it. And we have a question that has come in that touches on some of the things that you just said. This one reads, I downloaded your book the other night. I find it excellent. The fact that your first principle is based on your faith in God set the tone for the rest of the chapters. I especially loved your chapters on love unconditionally, empower and share, and leave a character legacy. My husband is a police sergeant in Detroit, and he fears for the future of our three children, given the current direction our cities are going in. We believe it is our responsibility as individuals and in mass to walk in integrity, honor, and love if we wish to protect our future. Your book supports those principles, and I can't wait to share it with the members of our church and family. This is from Tanika in Michigan.
Well, Tanika, you need to understand, if you're listening on the air right now, I do come and do workshops for churches about character. So that's very important, because and the reason why I'm doing this, and I didn't mention this before, Alan, I am doing workshops on character for churches, but it also includes a retreat so they can learn and fellowship and praise and worship all together. Like in the olden days, you remember when you used to have, what was that program that I can't think of it right now, but it was a program that traveled around the country for men. Promise Keepers.
Yeah, Promise Keepers.
And they had the coach that was running it and everything else.
Coach McCarthy.
Yeah. And I thought that was tremendous for men. What I try to do is workshop for men, bring, you know, at your church, because what ends up happening is your men aren't involved, and they just sit there and they look, and they're there because the wife is telling them there, but they're truly not involved in this. And I tried to create an environment where they can get involved, enjoy, and communicate, but at the same time get some understanding of what character is all about. And the workshop is called Men of Character.
Okay. And so, in fact, and I would normally get to this at the end, but I want to get to it now while we're talking about it. What is the best way for people to get in touch with you if they are interested in this?
Well, they can get in touch with me through my email, and it's gswaters, W-A-T-E-R-S, 51 at gmail.com. They can get a hold of me anytime.
All right. And for those of you, if you're driving out there, we'll put that information on our website at answers.network. We'll make sure that we have that on how you can get a hold of Coach Waters. We've got about 7 minutes left. We've got another question. I want to make sure we get through these. This one reads, I'm a high school football coach and love your message. I try to instill some of the same values in my players. Have you dealt with school administrators, or it says, yeah, how have you dealt with school administrators, boosters, yeah, or parents who second guess your decisions to sit star players who believe that they don't have to be on time or work as hard as the less talented players? And this is from John in California.
Well, Marvin, we talked about the new ruling that came in. That's one of the issues you're going to have right there. The biggest thing I can tell that coach is you got to teach team. Everything's about team first and player second.
There's no I in team.
That's exactly right. If you put the player first because of his talents and his abilities, then it will overseed what you're trying to do with your team. And that's what I think they need to understand and promote that. You got to promote it day one in your practice. You got to promote it day one in all your activities that it's about team. And then they'll get that feeling that this is about a team. This ain't only about me, even though they will receive accolades and honors from within the team. But team has got to come first.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, I'll make this quick. It's interesting in sharing that. And I was very blessed, I would say, mom and dad together. Mom just passed away recently, but they have been married 65 years.
Oh, Lord, that's beautiful.
Almost 70 years. And so, you know, I had a chance to kind of live through and see the dynamics change in the community. But, you know, while I was playing sports, you know, dad was an educator. So the whole thing was, I never forget, he would say, you know, to play sports in high school, all you need is a C to play. I said, Dad, all you need is a C to play. And he said, get a C and you're going to see your way out of here. I said, Dad, but I'm one of the stars. He said, you'll be starring on the bench if you get a C. So you got to be or better. So the bar was raised, and it wasn't like I wanted to be the studious person, but in the long run, it was the best thing for me because it conditioned me and it put me in a position that I graduated with honors, you know, to college and went on to do great things. But it was just that I look back and I go, wow, some wisdom in that. And another thing, he's talking about character. Dad would go, in youth sports, he says, listen, if you're going to play, there's no quitters around here. I didn't spend my money for you to quit, right? What it cost, 10 bucks to play the youth sports or whatever it was. Yeah. I thought, I always said, my dad is so cheap. It's always, but it wasn't about the money. He was instilling character. So I look at a lot of these lessons, and these are things that coaches have the opportunity to instill, Coach Waters. So I just want to commend you on all the work that you've done. And think about it. I thought, I was thinking about this earlier when I was kind of going over the briefs for the interview. You're only just starting. all of that is for a time such as this.
Yes, yes.
Prepared for. So I just want to commend you and just see you well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Marvin. And, you know, setting a foundation is a key to any program, any business, any family structure. You know, I think, like we were talking about earlier, one of the biggest things that affected our society is the deterioration of the family.
Yeah.
And we have to maintain that because, and we have to understand who's the head of it, who's so on, so they can understand what to do in their families and the life structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and again, we just have a couple of minutes, but let me ask each of you, what would be the one thing that you would change right now in the way in which young athletes are dealt with when they reach the college level?
Well, I'll be real quick, and then Coach Waters. What I would do, I would get a young Marvin Smith, and I would put him under the leadership of Coach Waters, that he would be, I know once he got out of college, he'd be prepared for what's in front of him.
Very good. Very good. I'm on the same manner. You know, one of the things we did in our program is we provided, once a player came to our program, a mentor. And I think you need that. You need someone that can show the way, show the direction. But what we did was the mentor was in your field of study. So when you finished this whole thing, you had someone you could go to help you educationally. Because, you know, you may not be that top athlete to make the big money, but you can do well in your profession in education. And that's what I think that's important for kids today. I had a mentor when I went to college. Today, they limit that and they don't give it out anymore. And you need that.
And, you know, and the other thing I look at, too, is all the fields that are ancillary to the game itself that individuals make good money. But those opportunities are you don't see those overtly, because when you're out there in the game, you want to be in the game.
Right,
you know,
right.
To be a cameraman, to be behind. I mean, there's a lot of great opportunities. It's just being exposed to it.
Right, exactly.
Well, and I think for our teachers out there, I want to add something. One of the things that I was most impressed with when my kids were very little and I was a room dad was they had fifth graders who were mentors to the second graders.
Yep.
You know, and so you can start this really young.
Yes,
and now
yes.
they're used to having a mentor. So now when they're in junior high and they have a high school mentor, or they're in high school, they have a college mentor, you have your freshman that has a senior mentor. Let's get them focused on the fact that this is how you grow and this is how you build character. So I'm right with you guys. And, you know, let's start it.
Can I mention one thing that, you know, I think I'm going to speak at a place in it's called Spring Lake, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And what they have is a program designed for kids in their school that if you say something negative, you got to give a positive response. So they'll have these kids walk around with the negative thing you said about them. And then they'll put it on a board, and then everybody's got to give something positive about that person. I think it's one of the best programs I've ever heard of.
I like it.
Spring Lake, Michigan. Remember that.
Okay, Spring Lake, Michigan. And if you end up posting it, can you tag us as well? And we'll put it out on the Answers Network as well.
Okay, very good. Very good.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you so much. The time has flown by, but Gary, again, I just want to commend you not only for working with so many young men and creating such a positive platform for them, but now writing a book about it. You're going to go from having been able to help hundreds to help tens or hundreds of thousands. So keep it up.
I hope that's the case, Alan. That's my objective.
All right. Yeah. Marvin, always good to have you here.
Marvin, it's been great talking with you.
Yes.
Okay. And then as soon as we hang up, we'll make sure that the two of you guys get each other's number and you can connect on that other issue as well.
Correct.
All right. Well, again, thank you guys. And for everybody out there, please visit our archives of past interviews at Answers Network, or better yet, subscribe through whatever platform you listen to us on. Subscribe to the show and it'll be sent to you every week. And remember, if you like what you hear, please leave a review. It'll help us reach more people. And I want you to know we greatly appreciate it. You can email. You can email Coach Waters. And again, if you need to get that, go to our website at answers.network and you'll be able to get his email as well. If you want to set up a group to be able to meet at one of his programs that he's involved with. So for everybody out there, please be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
Hello, I'm Marty Cove. You might remember me from roles such as Sensei in the Karate Kid films. I've done over 100 films and countless stunts in my career, and I've always given 100%. With the damage done to my body over time, I needed to find relief from my chronic pain. My passion for health and fitness drove me to find a natural way to combat muscle pain. Teaming up with doctors, detectives, and a compounding pharmacist, we've created Marty's Cobra Cove Ultra Strength CBD Cream. It's the only thing that has been strong enough to knock out my pain, and fast. Honestly, you may have tried the rest, but it's time to try the best. It's legal, it's safe, and 100% effective. Show your pain no mercy. Go to www.martyscobracove.com.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.